City Manager.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. So, this is the public hearing. We have Tom Meixel, our financial planning manager, is going to provide an overview of our revenue sources and also some budget assumptions and talk a little bit about the upcoming budget process before we take any testimony from the public. So, take it away, Tom.
Thank you, City Manager, Mayor, Deputy Mayor, members of Council. As mentioned, tonight is the public hearing dealing with revenue sources for the 2017-18 budget. It is our first of three public hearings that we'll have during budget season this fall. In addition to the public hearing, giving the opportunity for the public to speak, it also gives me an opportunity to update you on where we are with regards to developing the 2017-18 budget and the 17 through 22 capital improvements program. So to start, I'd just like to cover the budget principles that the city manager has provided to help us put together the city's budget for the next biennium. So we're continuing the stay steady philosophy in light of the expiration of the sales tax credit in 2021. One change is in the past, we had been planning for the expiration of the use of REIT for temporary operations and maintenance in 2016. Due to a legislative change last year, we are now able to use REIT on an ongoing basis. However, it needs to be for maintenance only of projects that are REIT eligible. So we are exercising that to the extent that it makes sense on an ongoing basis. Next, we, as mentioned, we are planning on the sales tax credit expiring in 2021. Part of that strategy, we're budgeting sales taxes on a modified two-year lag approach, meaning we set the next 2 years based on our most recent actuals, which is 2016 in this case. There are a number of one-time service packages that were approved in 15 and 16 that are likely to continue. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, including the cost. New service packages are meant to be those that are supported by new revenues or reductions in spending in the base. Also on that philosophy of service packages is the intent to set aside funds for one-time needs, so matching one-time resources with one-time needs, or to decrease backlogs or increase efficiencies. Finally, final budget principle is to keep non-expenditure cost growth zero, except in those cases where it's beyond our control. So I just want to stop really briefly, since the last time we talked budget with you was at the May retreat regarding the forecast. So there are a few kind of high-level things that we're noticing as we're developing the base. One is that the salary and wages benefits, salary and wages budget reflects attrition. So the 2016 forecast was based off of a 2016 budget level that was actually set in fall of 2014 because we do biennial budget. So the process of updating that, the replacement of seasoned staff who have left with newer staff who are lower on the salary schedule, including the implementation of the COLA adjustments as bargaining agreements have closed, results in a rebasing of our salary budget for 2017. Also, the budget for NORCOM in 2016 was higher than the actual amount. The forecast included growth from the 2016 amount, so that in essence, rolls into the 2017-18 budget as savings. On the revenue side, consistently we've been receiving high levels of punch board and card games revenues for the last 3 years. We've updated the baseline assumption to reflect that trend. Development fees, as you are aware, have been elevated, and they continue to be so. In the forecast, we had scaled them back somewhat. However, based on information from the departments, the higher level, particularly for 2017, is still supported. For CIP charges, you added additional CIP engineering staff in the fall, in the mid-biennial budget adjustment. However, the forecast didn't include the additional revenue side of that transaction, or it didn't include the full amount of the revenue side, and so we're updating that to accurately reflect that. And then finally, the overall philosophy is that the basic budgets are supporting the current service levels submitted by departments in August of this year. So this is more discussion now, moving from the forecast to actual base budget development. So first good news is we are not including any use of reserves in the budget, so we're budgeting on our ongoing based on our ongoing revenue levels. property taxes, as you're aware, we have a state law that limits us to the greater of 1% or the growth in implicit price deflator plus new construction. Right now, our new construction assumption is 1%. We do expect to get an update from the county assessor shortly, and we'll update our budget projections accordingly. In terms of sales tax, I mentioned earlier, we might budget on the modified two-year lag. For 2016, we're estimating to end the year 5% above last year. Currently, we are about 6.9% through August above last year, so we are building in a gradual decline down to the 5% level. For 17 and 18, we're basically assuming no growth. And then the annexation sales tax, we're assuming at the level that we collected, that we budgeted for 2016, which is approximately $4 million. So utility taxes, there's the question of the rate and the question of the base. So in terms of the rates, we are not assuming any changes in those, so neither on the private or public utility tax rate side. In terms of the tax base, private utilities have been underperforming recently, so we are not assuming any growth. They saw a pretty steep drop in 2015 that kind of has carried into 2016, so we're not increasing it, we're not decreasing it. That includes electric, gas, telecom, and cable. The tax rate on all the private utilities is 6% for reference. In terms of the public utilities, so water, sewer, solid waste, and service water, the rates vary. The effective tax rates vary, as you can see from the slide. The growth rate that we're assuming in the base is essentially whatever is projected for the respective utility rate model.
Yeah, question for you, Mr. Mike. Mr. Asher.
I'm a slide behind you. Sorry. On the sales tax.
Oh.
For 2017, what is the sales tax budget assumption that we're using?
In terms of dollar amounts?
In terms of what is the benchmark?
Right, whatever the 2016 actuals turn out to be. So we're estimating 5% above 15, so we're assuming 0% growth in 17.
Okay, if we've got a two-year lag, where does 2 years in there?
That's the modified part. What we did last biennium when we did the modified two-year lag is we used the 14 estimate as flat for 15 and 16. So this way we'd be using the 16 estimate as flat for 17 and 18, as opposed to a one-year lag, which would be assuming growth in 18. So that's the same assumption that we used in the 15-16 budget as a modified two-year lag, was using the 14 actual, or the estimate for 14 for 15 and 16.
Then I think we need to call it something else because it's not a two-year lag. It's a year prior to the biennium budgeted for. I thought we had gone more to a real two-year lag.
But
I was very proud of that, matter of fact.
No, I think we tried to be clear. It was modified from the technical definition of a complete two-year lag is. So, that's certainly a policy call that the council can make a change to, if you like.
Can you tell me more what you mean exactly?
That we budget in 2017 what was the actual in 2015, and in 2018 the actual for our estimated actual for 2016.
Right.
That's what the two-year lag that in fact served us very well when the economic downturns came, thought we'd gotten back to modified was the curiosity, and then
so I think to be clear, so what we're doing is instead of holding a two years ago rate, we'll hold last year's rate for 2 years. So yeah, so the proposal to you, which is of course what we look to the council for final direction on, is we take the 16 number and hold that constant for 17, 18, not the 15 number and hold that constant for 17.
Can you tell us as we go forward, you don't have to have the numbers tonight, what impact that would have?
If we went the other way and went to 15?
Yeah,
right.
if we did an actual two-year lag.
Right. Sure, we can calculate that.
I would appreciate
that. So
when
we do that big budget workshop, maybe we can have those, the difference between those and what,
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, ready to go.
So, having covered utility taxes, development-related revenues, I mentioned, still growing hot. However, departments have scaled back their estimates approximately 20% from the 2016 levels going into 2018 to reflect some maturation of the development cycle. Finally, with regards to CPI adjustments, there are some fees that are allowed to have CPI adjustments, and it is expected that those will be taken. So that would include like the EMS fee and some development fees. So business license, so this slide is a combination of a base discussion as well as a proposal. In terms of the base budget, we're assuming a 1% growth in business licenses and business license fee revenue. As noted in the memo to council, city manager is proposing an increase to the RGL, so the revenue generating regulatory license, or in other words, also known as a head tax, because it's based on the number of FTEs at a business. The proposed increase is $5 from the current level of $100, and that would be used, the proposal is to use it to fund public safety investments. So this is the first change since the fee was instituted in 2009. The table below includes the different approaches that surrounding communities in the region use in terms of taxation of businesses. So on the left side of the table, you'll see those cities that use a head tax approach similar to Kirkland. On the right side are cities that use a different approach, which is essentially a business and occupations tax on gross receipts or square feet of a business. So this is kind of a mixture of two different approaches. This next slide attempts to normalize the differences between the two for a set of similar businesses along the left scale. So you're going from small to large. So you can see the impacts that for each one of these businesses according to the different taxing jurisdictions of our closest neighbors. In addition, there is this, a column that's added for the proposal to increase the RGRL, or the head tax, by $5 per FTE. This revenue proposal would bring in approximately $140,000 per year.
So are we increasing the base fee?
The proposal is not to increase the base fee. It would still be $100.
And I'm going to channel Ms. Marchione now and say that that she usually would say transportation infrastructure is what businesses can get behind. I understand the public safety push. Maybe we can reach out to our businesses and explain what the investments are proposed to be. Ms. Sweet.
Just to mention that the city manager presented this at the public policy meeting for the chamber just on Monday, and it was actually pretty well received. First increase since 2009, I think, and not a huge impact. So,
before we leave this topic, I'd like, and are you about to leave this topic? Yeah, it looks like you are.
Yes, this was the last slide on this.
I'd like for us to do a dive into our business licenses on the data that we have on our business licenses. I'd like to look at the number of renewals, the number of discontinuances, in other words, who's dropping off, our FTE growth. We see that through the FTEs that are reported, and the number of new businesses. This is stats that we just don't normally see, and I was trying to think of a way of getting to that, and I think during the budget process it's a good idea to take a look at that, and it seems to be that it's a bit of a thermometer on what's happening with our community businesses too. So if we could do that sometime during the budget process, I think it'd be nice.
Sure.
Could we do that?
We'll add it.
Yes, sir. Mr. Arnold has a question, I think.
In addition, in looking at the head tax, I'd like to see, as we look at this study session, whether this also can whether we also can consider making this one of the fees that's indexed to inflation. You mentioned this hasn't been raised since 2009. I note that Redmond's business tax is head tax is an odd number that makes it appear, I think they may be indexing to inflation. It may be something that is more predictable versus requiring council action periodically that we want to do, and it's something I'd like to consider.
Good idea.
Other comments? Oh, Ms. Sweet.
I would suggest that we actually sit down and talk with perhaps the chamber before we move into that. The chamber's recollection of how we got to the head tax is a little... they seem to think that we did it temporarily. I was on that committee or on the business side during that time, and I remember very clearly that it wasn't presented that way. But I do think that it would be healthy to have some discussion. I know that Redmond's numbers are associated with, I think, a square footage allotment along with FTEs, so it's a little bit different. I agree that we should probably evaluate it more often, but to automatically tie it to what did you suggest inflation. We tie it to inflation doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think understanding some of the data that Dave's talking about in terms of how many businesses stay in business and that kind of stuff will help us with that.
Other comments?
Just to pile onto that, I was one of a couple of council members that did consider it a temporary fee. But in looking at the glide slope to where sales tax is versus where it was, we still haven't achieved that point that we would have cast away.
And we're reaching, not all businesses are represented at the chamber. Obviously, we wish that they were, but some of our big players are not.
Right.
We're reaching out to our larger
We're going to keep doing more outreach.
Okay.
But we just had a chance to talk to the Public Policy Committee yesterday.
Great.
But we'll make sure we get this out to everyone. And we're asking the chamber to also communicate it to everyone.
Thank you. Okay, ready to go.
Thanks. Okay, so I am moving on to base budget expenditure side now. So we're assuming full staffing, so no vacancies. We are establishing a COLA reserve, so I mentioned we were settling up the past agreements in terms of developing the base budget for 17 and 18. However, there are a lot of open agreements that will be open for 17 and 18, and we're establishing a reserve that assumes 2% per year raises in anticipation of settling those contracts. In terms of health benefit inflation, we are actually assuming 0% growth for 2017 for our high deductible and prime plans. For the group health, dental, and vision, we are assuming the growth rates given to us by the providers. And then for 2018, we're inflating all costs by 2%. We're assuming approximately $2.5 million for debt service. So that covers City Hall debt, Kirkland Justice Center debt. We have the 1% per year for reserve replenishment, which will get us very close to our reserve targets. Looks like we will be able to hit them by 2019 fully, and which is consistent with the long-range forecast. So now for the 2017-18 budget, we do have a general capital contribution. So we have $1.7 million going to fund a portion of Fire Station 24 construction in the CIP in 2017. We have planned contributions for geographical information systems in the IT CIP at approximately $110,000 per year. And we have $60,000 every other year for emergency generators. And those are all transfers to the capital projects fund. So I've been talking about base budget development, but what we'll be bringing to you in October is the preliminary budget. So there's a step to take place between now and then, and that includes the impact of service packages. So as mentioned, there are a number of 2015-16 service packages that are one-time items. So those total about $1.3 million per year, and it's likely that those will be included in the preliminary budget. Also, the consideration of the service packages that is underway right now, which is actually a good segue into where we are with regards to current progress. So this is at the staff level what we're doing. We've met with all the departments, had two rounds of meetings. We have reviewed our available resources. We're still refining that. We, city manager has received the service packages and reviewing those and is developing the recommendation with the intent to very soon wrap up the deliberation phase on the preliminary budget and then move into the production phase so that we can deliver it to you in October. And so this is the upcoming dates. So we have a busy October. On the 18th, we will actually be talking about the CIP. So this is an update, an additional update of the 2017-2022 CIP at a regular council meeting. The 21st, as mentioned, that's when we will deliver the preliminary budget to you. 4 days later, we'll go to the Finance Administration Committee to discuss the recently presented preliminary budget. We have a six-hour council work study session scheduled on the 27th, and with the two additional study sessions as needed on the 1st and 7th of November. In terms of the next two public hearings, on the 17th, we will have a public hearing on the 17-18 budget, and the first hearing on the, or I guess the preliminary 2017 property tax levy public hearing. And then rounding out the process is on December 13th, the adoption of the 17-18 budget, 17 through 22 CIP, and the 17 property tax levy. So that's what I have. Thank you for the opportunity to share the information with you. Do you have any questions?
Thank you for sharing the information. Mr. Asher.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the sales tax year-to-date, that wonderfully depressing chart that you portrayed. Can we factor out the stores that have been closed for the major developments and look at what the underlying growth of the rest of the city is of the businesses? I think that would be more helpful because we've not really taken into consideration the actions for the redevelopment of those two major places, and I'd like to get a view of it with those taken out, if we could.
Absolutely.
Because we're looking for great things. And what are you planning about including in the? Are you making any assumption on the new businesses coming in 17 would be the first new businesses that we would see.
We haven't at this time.
Okay. All right. You had an assumption on non-personnel expenditures being held, and it's held to zero, I think, no growth. Have we ever allowed growth in a budget in non-personnel expenditures other than for special projects? I mean, this is one of the old budgeteering things where you say one thing and what actually happens in the real world is something very different.
We, Councilmember Ash, we do try to hold to that standard. It's some items, as I mentioned earlier, are kind of beyond our control. So on the items that are within our control, we do attempt to hold that standard and do a fairly reasonable job. I mean, there are, as you noted, areas where it pokes through that assumption a bit, but...
Well, in an operating department, it's a ludicrous proposition. They won't give us any money, but we're going to... Can we look at budget versus actual in areas of non-personnel expenditures over the past... if we can get to a decade, I'd love to see a decade. Because I think, and I've done it myself... issued budget guidance that says, okay, no growth here because we're really tight. We're always really tight. So I think allowing for some growth and understanding some growth up front may be more realistic and take a little bit of the gamesmanship out of the departmental approaches to budgeting.
How difficult is that going to be? Is everybody okay with that? Interested in that?
Maybe is 10 years a long time?
I do have one suggestion.
Yes.
Annexation occurred in 2011, 2012, and so that sort of rebaselines everything. We could look for the past couple of years.
Yeah, but your budget would versus your actual would still be valid.
True. I just think that we could easily go back there and at least have a baseline that's somewhat.
All right, I'll give you that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's important to understand when new employees are added, there is a minimal amount of training and supplies that are added with each employee. So when as staff has grown, some of those budgets have grown.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Right. I don't even want to ask if you could factor that out.
Not very easily.
The point I'm trying to make is it's easy from a budgeteer's point of view to say, okay, no growth in non-personnel costs. From a department point of view, we're going to operate, and we're going to have some. We're going to spend what we need to spend to get that. And usually, that's the best investment is giving the tools that you need to your employees to making them satisfied. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's counterintuitive that okay, we're not going to allow any growth, but it actually happens and should happen. I think we ought to recognize it.
Thank you. Any other comments? So maybe that's something you could bring back to us in the budget, the big.
Got it.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Meixel. So I will now open the public hearing. Do we have a sign-in sheet? We do not. Would anyone like to address the council about our proposed revenue sources for the 2017-18 budget? Then the public hearing is closed. Thank you very much. Public hearing is closed. Thank you very much. And the